Okay. So let's quickly go over the first part of the shiur that we did last time, and then we'll pick up. This way, those who are joining us anew know what we're talking about. What we're trying to do is we're trying to go through the simanim of the Seder, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, etc. And we're going to give insights, both halachic, hashkafic, and lamdisha insights into each one of them. Hopefully by doing so, we'll have a greater appreciation of what's going on in the Seder. Okay. So we started with first, we're going to go through the first part very quickly. What did we get up to, just so I know?
We started Magid.
We started Magid. Okay, so we'll have to get the Magid, so we have to just do the beginning part. Okay. Kadesh, we start with Kadesh. We mentioned the Mishnah, famous Mishnah, Mesachas Pesachim, Dav Tzadi Tesla Mideis, the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. It says that V'lo Yivsechu lo mi'arba kosa shal yayin v'afilu min atam choy, that an ani is obligated in Dalakosos. So we pointed out that Dalakosos is extremely important. It's a mitzvah that was niskan because of Persumi Nisa. And therefore, even though Persumi Nisa even requires one to be Mocher Ksuso, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, he references that well when it comes to Hadlakas Neiros. And our Dalakos is a very, very important and central mitzvah, Midirabanan. We should know it's only Midirabanan. Of Lel HaSeder, we spoke about there were two different Mahalchim as to how to understand the nature of Dalakosos. Tosos gives us the simple understanding about Dalakosos. He explains that they are just Seder Dvar Mahalakos. What do we mean? Every single mitzvah that we have in the Torah, more or less, if it's a chashav mitzvah, if it's a maimed, what do we have? We have a kos which is malave, such as kiddush, birchas hamazon, bris milah, irisin, right? All these things. There's a kos shel bracha that gives purim, exactly, that gives formality to the mitzvah that we're involved in. So says Tosos, the purpose of dalet kosos is what is it? Belomar aleim halav hagada. In order to say over the Haggadah and the Halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it gives formality. However, the Rambam says, no, the nature of Dalakos is fundamentally different. And if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halakha Vav and Halakha Zayin, we have to read it inside. But it's very clear that the Rambam thinks that Dalakos is a direct outgrowth of what? Exactly, that it's a direct outgrowth of cheiros, of expression of freedom. The Rambam switches that lashon from the Gemara slightly in order to talk about the experiential nature of that freedom, and therefore part of that is by drinking the kosos. When we drink the kosos, that it's an expression of our freedom, and therefore it's a din not just in the amiras haggadah, but even a din in the shtiyas hakos. There are many, many nafkaminas of this. I don't know if I referenced, there's a griz on this about explaining a machlokas between the Rashban and the Rush, and about whether one drinks dalakosos at one time. Want to see one of the grizzes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah? So he has a very, very beautiful idea about this, analyzing the Rambam over there. Definitely worth looking at. We spoke about other nafkaminas. Some of the nafkaminas that we spoke about were whether it's important that every single person needs dalakosos, like ketanim, nashim, avad. Do they need dalakosos? Or is it good enough for one person to have dalakosos that would suffice? What is that tali on? It's tali on our machlokas or rishonim. If you say that it's a din in cheiros, if it's a din in, then what do we need? Everyone needs to drink it, right? Because you can't fulfill my obligation of cheiros. I need to experience the cheiros. But if it's a din in, kiddush, kiragil, so then the same way that we have normal kiddush, and people normally when they say kiddush, what do? One person says kiddush and yotze everybody. So one person can have a cup of wine and it can be yotze everybody. We reference a story about, let's say you don't have wine, right? Or you only have one cup of wine. How do you divide that? This famous story with Rav Moshe and the Griz during World War I, where the Griz, if I'm not mistaken, was exiled to Chaslavich, where Rav Moshe was the Rav. And in the Sefer Siach HaGrid, which is written by Rav Yitzi Lichtenstein, a beautiful Haggadah, Al Shal Pesach, he referenced that story there. It's certainly worth looking at. Another nafkamina that we pointed out is source number 5, 6, and 7. What's 5, 6, and 7? The Gemara says that you need to drink Rov Kos when it comes to Dalet Kosos. Tosos points out that Rov Kos, it sounds like a special halacha when it comes to Dalet Kosos. And Tosos says, no, it has nothing to do with that. Tosos Lashitaso. Says Tosos that the minimal amount of a kos that you have is the size of a shear of a kos, does anybody know? A revius. How much is a revius?
86.
What? Rav Chaim Noah is 86, and 150 the Chazon Ish, and Rav Moshe is somewhere in between. I think Rav Moshe is like 3.2 or 3.4 ounces, which is 3. What? I said 3.2. Oh, excellent. So the average of what I said, 3.2 versus 3.4. Right? Okay, right? Okay, so it's 3.3. So the Chazish is somewhere, the Ramosh is somewhere in between. Says, Tosas, he points out that since the minimal amount of Shtiyas Hayayin you need is a Mali Lugma. This is what Tosas says. And a Mali Lugma comes out to about half of a Revius. And if the minimal amount of cup that you need is Revius, so therefore when it says you need to drink Rubit the Kasa, when you need to drink Rove Kos, all it's telling you is that you need to drink a Mali Lugma, which is the general halacha when it comes to Kiddush. Tosas L'shitaso, that there's nothing inherently important when it comes to Dalakosos in terms of the Shtiyas HaKos. It's Lomar Lema Ahalav HaGadah, so the halacha should apply across the board. However, we see other Rishonim, such as the Orchos Chaim, and I believe the Zoran, if I'm not mistaken, that actually points out that no, you actually definitely need to drink Rov Kos no matter how large that cup is. Some people even say you need to drink Kol HaKos, which seems to be the prevalent minhag b'zman hazeh. Why would you have to drink Kol HaKos regardless of how large the kos is? Because it's not a din in Lomar Lema Ahala Magada, but rather it's a din in Cheres. If you want to experience that Cheres, what must you do?
Drink
one. Thank you very much, Sig. Okay. You know, times like these, you know? Okay, Orchatz. Now we just spoke about Orchatz. Orchatz is the second one of the simanim. Why do we have to wash our hands? Because we're about to dip
vegetables
into liquids. What are the liquids that you need to wash your hands for? Yad, shachat, dam, the sheva mashkim, which are hooks for the kabel tumma. If any food comes into contact with this water and you want it, or sorry, with this liquid and you want it to come into contact with the liquid, then it's hooks for the kabel tumma. And the urim masakin. Because of Srach Truma, the Gemara Mesachas Brachos was mitakin that what you have to do, you need to wash your hands before in order that you should not be Matame Chulin. Why can't you be Matame Chulin? Because maybe you might come to be Matame Truma and that would be really bad. Okay? That's what the Gemara ends up saying. Now, a lot of the Mepharshim point out, it's very interesting that we know in Simin Kuf Nun Ches, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Hilchos and Tilos Yedarim that you should always wash your hands before. Eating any food that's dipped in one of the Shiva Mashkim. So why is there a special halacha, and it even gets its own simon called Orchatz? It's like that's just standard procedure when it comes to eating wet food. So there are a couple of different approaches to this. Approach number one is the Taz. Taz says it because in order to give muster for everybody who is not machmin on washing their hands called Shanakula. So tonight you should go wash your hands. And that should be mustard to take with you for the rest of the year, that you should continue to wash your hands. Shaar Tzion says, no, even those who are not makbid to wash your hands, kol shana kula, tonight we should have a bikurma and wash your hands tonight. We should point out, Tosos says that this idea of shrach trum is no longer no gabe, is manazen, the minig is not to wash your hands. So there are different approaches to halachal maisa, whether one should or should not wash your hands. Tosos says that one does not need to, the simple understanding is shulchan aruch that one should. The grug goes as far as that you should even make a bracha when you wash your hands. That's very few people passing like that, obviously. But what's wrong with the Shaar Tzion? Why tonight, Dafka, would we wash our hands when the rest of the year we wouldn't be so lucky to wash our hands, or at least some people were not? What? What? So, because the Gusso, a couple of answers to this, but the Netziv's, Netziv answers in the Zakat Emre Shefer, a very beautiful idea, because on the night of Pesach, what do? We try to transport ourselves to a moment in time, and a moment in history, where the Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara are relevant. Where we're living in a situation where we care about Tumah V'Tahara, where it's important not to be Matame, that which is Tahor. And therefore, Daf Galil HaSeder, that's what we're trying to experience. That's a chayiv on the maharas, that's a kiliyatz mitzrayim. That's what it's all about. We need to try and experience as if we went through the abdus, and not only that we experienced the cheiros, and part of that cheiros is also being makbid on halachas which are nogeya bismacha basic the shai kaya. I think this is a general perspective of the Netziv. I didn't say this last time, but we should point out. Netziv wants to know why do we wear a kittel? Well, I'll say there. Different people give different answers why we're a kittel. What? Could be one of the people give Kohen Gadol that I've never heard. But I did see, let's see, Reb Chaim wanted to say Kedei Sheyishal Tinokos. But then the Tziv says something very beautiful, and he says, what's the idea behind wearing a kittel Leil HaSeder? He says, very simple. I'll tell you why. Because what are you supposed to be bringing? What's a central theme? What's the most important mitzvah? Bismacha, Bismacha, Shayakayam, Leil HaSeder, what are you supposed to eat?
Kosher.
the Korban Pesach, and we don't have the Korban Pesach with Manazah, but if you did, you know what? When one brings a Korban, it's a yantif for them. If it's a yantif for them, you know what you have to do? You have to wear special begadim. And it could be that the minhag to wear a kittel comes from the fact that if we were to be makar of a Korban Pesach, then we would have a special mitzvah to wear a special begadim because it's an individual yantif for that person. And therefore, we wear special begadim as if we were makar of the Pesach. Once again, the Nitziv is saying that we need to transport ourselves psychologically as if we're in a different time period where the Beis HaMikdash is still relevant in our lives. So that's a very beautiful idea for the Nitziv. Karpas, we spoke about last time as well. What's the idea behind karpas? Karpas, the Gemara explains that the reason why we eat karpas is also what we just mentioned before. Kadesh Yishal Atino. Of course, is one of the two things the Gemara mentions that we do in order that the children say ask. We also remove the ka'ara, right? We also remove the seder plate, which was much more dramatic when they were actually eating on the individual tables and you're removing the table. Nowadays, it's just strange. Like, I mean, whatever, we have different, you know, courses, and people remove plates all the time. But nevertheless, that is what the Gemara says. There is a big discussion, what we mentioned last time, about how much karpas should one eat. There is a machlokas harishonim. Tosfos says that you eat less than a kezayis dafka. Otherwise, you can run into trouble with bracha achrona. However, the Rambam says that we eat dafka a kezayis. Now, why does Rambam say we eat dafka a kezayis? Without getting into the entire discussion, the Rav in Siach HaGrid has a very beautiful idea, Mahalach, within this, and he explains that according to the Rambam, the purpose of eating karpas, once they instituted it, it became one of the mitzvos achilas halayla. If there's a mitzvah achilas halayla, what is that obligating us to? The minimal amount of an achila, which is mandated by a mitzvah, is a kezayis. And therefore, since that's one of the mitzvos achilas halayla midirabanan, he needed a kezayis. His ride to this is that according to the Rambam, you dip the karpas in charoses, not in salt water. What else do you dip in charoses, according to the Rambam? Matzah and maror. All the mafarshim go crazy in the Rambam. Why are we dipping all these things in charoses? Says the Rav, the idea being is that mitzvos achilas alayla b'leil seder are towing maror. They need to have maror. That's the idea behind them, and therefore we see, according to the Rav, that's why the karpas needs achilas kezayis, and that's why it's also dipped in charoses, because it's one of the achilas, mitzvos achilas alayla. Okay. This brings us on to Yachatz, Kabbalah, okay. We're making good time, I think. What's up with Yachatz? Where am I? There we go. Okay. Yachatz, what do? We break the matzah. Why do we break the matzah? Because the Gemara says that we have lechem oni or lechem ani, right? Two different ways to read it. Mani shadarka b'prusa avkad, darka b'prusa. The way that a poor person experiences his bread eating is by not eating all at once, but rather saving. They only get a piece of bread. So too, we are trying to experience that lechem oni. We're trying to experience that avdos of the matzah experience. And therefore, what do? We break the matzah in half. Now, what ends up happening is we have a bit of a problem here because we know that not only is Leil HaSeder its own independent mitzvah of Sipritz and Tzitzrayim, right? We also have a company with it, Shulchan Aruch, which is Sudas Yantif. And Sudas Yantif, what do you need? Lecha Mishnah. You need Lecha Mishnah. So what are we going to do? Lecha Mishnah generally has to be Shalim. Therefore, what's the minhag? According to most Rishonim, and what Rashi ends up asking, that you need three matzahs. So what do? You say Alechilas Matzah on three of them, or two and a half, rather, right? Two full ones, a half broken one. And then you drop the bottom matzah, and then you say Alechilas Matzah on one and a half. So your Alechilas Matzah was on Lechem Oni. And your Hamotzi Lechem Aretz was on Lechem Mishnah. And therefore, you get out of all the problem. Now, the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says you only take how many matzahs?
One and a half.
Two. You take two. And therefore, whether you end up saying Hamotzi Lechem Aretz on one and a half, because you did Yachatz. How could that be? Is that a violation of Lechem? Don't you need Lechem Mishnah and you're lacking? So it seems to me that according to the Rambam, that what we see over here is that the mitzvos halayla are transformed because in the context of the Seder. And for the Leil HaSeder, Lechem Oni dictates that that's called Lechem Mishnah. Because we're Aniyim, because we're experiencing that Avdus, because Chayav Ad Lahar Sa'at Sekili Yatsim Mitzrayim, therefore our Lechem Mishnah, Leil HaSeder, is one of Lechem Oni. It's not Chaser. That transforms the mitzvos halayla. This, l'chora, is the Rambam l'shitaso, because the Rambam thinks that other mitzvos halayla also become transformed. What we're referring to? Kiddush. Kiddush is not just stam kiddush. Kiddush becomes what? it becomes cheiros, and therefore there are certain halachos which dictate the kiddush b'leil seder, which are different than shekol hashana kula, such as some of the achronim point out. Even if you are mekel to have mitzvah anavim, to have grape juice, all kol hashana kula for your kiddush, it could be leil seder. You should definitely have something which has some alcohol, because that's an expression of cheiros. We spoke about rov hakos. We experience all these different things, whether everybody needs to have it. Once again, those mitzvahs alike get transformed, because in the context of chayv adam haaretz atzma kila yatzim mitzrayim, and that's perhaps shot in the Rambam Yachat, why we only have 1.5. Yes? When you say hamotzi, you have 2 full ones and a half. So that's lechamisha, because you have 2 full ones. And then when you drop the bottom one, and then you have lechamoni by saying al achilas matzah on 1.5. Okay, this brings us to Magid. Did we speak about Magid last time?
A little bit, but not.
Okay, let's just talk about Magid. Magid is obviously the central mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, a very, very important mitzvah. The main part of that mitzvah obviously is located in the Arami Oved Avi, right? Which is the drashos from Parshas Kisavo, which is the most instructive of all the entire Seder, even though it's the most important. Those who are interested, last year I did a whole entire series on Arami Oved Avi. I think each of them around 10 minutes online, and I think I went through all the drashos, and I gave different Torah on them. Certainly, feel free to check those out. I think they're on YU Torah. I think I sent them out to everybody.
I'll forward them on the group chat.
Forward on the group chat. Okay, Gavaldik. What?
On last year's chat.
Okay. But let's talk about it a little bit. If Mir Tashem, maybe one of the shirim that I'll send out to everybody, not to group Sachem, I would like to explain the structure of Magid to everybody so we know why we say what we say. Because it seems kind of random, right? Like, who cares about, a bunch of Tamei Chacham sitting in Nebrak? It's nice, it's a good Gullah story or something like that. But, what does that have to do in the context of Haggadah? Why do we care about how old, Rav Elazar ben Azariah was? All these things, are we really knocking out the Rosh's teeth? I don't, all these things, they seem somewhat random, but maybe I'll give a share on that, and I'll send it out to everybody to give a bit more context and structure to what's going on in Magid. Okay, now to Magid itself, the mitzvah Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim, very quickly, what's going on over here. So, let's see, it's obviously very strange, I think we mentioned this last time, why do we, for Magid, for Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim, why do we reference the mitzvahs of, the Pesukim from Parshas Kisavo? It would make much more logical sense to start from where? Shemos Va'era Bo B'Shalach. That's where the actual story of Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim takes place. More than that, we're all more familiar with that, those Pesukim. And we know them. We get to talk about the Makos. Not like, Dam. No, we actually talk about Dam and what happened. And the fear of the Mitzrayim and the back and forth. And we can mavish get into the story. We can spend a tremendous amount of time doing that. Why are we not learning those elements of the Chumash for to be Mekai in the midst of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, why Dafka Parshas Kisavo? So I think there's really 2 ideas that I've seen developed, I think both by the Rav and by other Achronim as well, which are really, 2, which is really 1. It's really 1 idea which share a lot of similarities. And that is, if you look at the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, source number 19, what does he say? Let's read it together. Mitzvah Kufnan Zayin Hu. He should even the sapri b'tzitz Mitzrayim b'leil chamisha tzarbenisan b'tchilas halayla kifi tzachos osha misaper. Okay, this part's important. B'chol mashi yosef b'maymer. And anything which you add, v'yarech ha-dvarim b'agilas mashi asalanu Hashem, and you expound in terms of what the greatest thing that Hashem did for us, mashi asu imanu ha-mitzrim, mo v'chamas v'ich lakach Hashem nekmasenu, and how terrible the mitzrim were to us, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took revenge on them, and what can you do? And this part's really important, that it leads to appreciation. Hodos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Akaris HaTov, which is embedded within this Sipur Yitzhak Tzrayim. Then that would be great. We see from the Rambam when he categorized the mitzvah Sipur Yitzhak Tzrayim, it's not just about telling over the story or referencing it or remember it. What would that be? That would be a mitzvah that we have every single day or twice a day. That would be Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's just referencing what happened. But over here, what is the difference? What Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It must lead to Hakaras HaTov. It must lead to a deep-found appreciation and feeling of thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that He did for us. As we say in the meaning of Agada, what do we say? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, we'd still be slaves there. Therefore, it's still relevant in our lives. We must feel that sense of Akar Satov for the chasadim that Hashem did for us in our lives. And perhaps that's why we reference the Pesukim from Parshat Kisavo. Because what is Parshat Kisavo? What is that? That's a Parshas, huh? Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim. The whole idea of Mikra Bikurim is one of Hakar Satov. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me these fruits, for making me successful in my farming year. Another element, what do we see from there? The Lashon of Arami Ovidavi, if you look at it, is written in the first person. What's first person? That means it happened to me, right? That I went down to Mitzrayim, and I, what I talk about myself, and therefore it leads me to a deeper sense of Hakar Satov, as opposed to talking about something which happened in the ancient past, and therefore I'm just learning history. Over here, I'm talking about my own personal experience, hoping that leads to Hakar Satov, and that's hopefully what we're trying to accomplish when it comes to Magid. Okay, Rachta, what's Rachta about? Washing your hands. There is discussion in the Beis Yosef. One washed your hands at Orchatz, and they had in mind not to be, you know, get their hands dirty until Rachta. Are they obligated in Rachta? So maybe you wouldn't have to be, Taka. But he says at the end of the day, you know what, it's kind of from Chazal to have Rachta, and therefore let's keep Rachta and, you know, make sure that you wash your hands properly, and that's what I want you to do. Okay. Motzi Matzah. Motzi Matzah. Now, no, this is a schmack part. Should we say this? Okay, great. Okay. Motzi Matzah. So, when I said for the obligation of matzah, it's time to talk about matzah. I want to leave you with one idea, which I heard from my Rebbe Rosenzweig. And that has to do with the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph. The Mishnah over there says, Ilu devarim she'adam yotzei bem yidei chobasu b'pesach. These are the things that a person can be yotzei their obligation of Pesach. And what does he say? He gives us, chitim se'orim kusun shifon b'shul shoal. And he references what? The five grains, right? The chamishas minei dagan. Great. Now, what can one not fulfill their obligation of moti matzah on Pesach? So he says, "Biyotim demai ma'aser yishol shenatu trumaso u'ma'aser shein v'gdi sheniftu v'akohen mechal v'truma." Aval lo, what we cannot do, v'lo b'tevel matzah shel tevel. One cannot fulfill their obligation. Now, why can't one fulfill their obligation of matzah shel tevel? What is matzah shel tevel? Do we know what that is? Tevel is obviously, right, is grains that were not taken from it, trumas and ma'aser. Okay. So that is something which a person cannot fulfill their obligation of matzah with. What? It's atzer b'achila. Okay, so the question is, well, so why don't I violate the Yisra of Tevel, but I'm still yotzei my mitzvah of achila's matzah? Now we can get into like mitzvah of Avera, we can talk about different things, but the Gemara tells us something else. What does the Gemara tell us? Look at the bottom. Tell me, what's the of chametz? Misha asher mishem bal tochel of chametz. Yotzei zeh she'in iser mishem bal tochel. Chametz ela mishem bal tochel tevel. Wow, there's a drasha. What does the drasha say? That one could only fulfill their obligation of matzah if the only halachic potential problem would be there is that of chametz, not any other additional halachic restriction on it. And that's why it's no good. What does it say again? The only type of food or matzah that one could be yotzei their mitzvah is that the matzah has potential to become chametz. But it doesn't have potential to get into other types of Isurim. So, matzah shel tevel is not just a problem because it could become chametz. It's problematic because it's tevel. And because it's tevel, that's why it's problematic. Okay. What's this idea? Why? What is this klal of you're only yotzei with matzah that has the potential of chametz and nothing else? So, Rosak wanted to suggest that perhaps it has to do with the central tension that exists when it comes to the idea of what Tzipor Yetzirah Mitzrayim is all about, Chirus. What is Chirus? So we think about the difference between matzah and chametz. They are fundamentally different. What is chametz? Chametz represents the ability to let things go, right? We allow the chametz just to sit and go and grow and leaven to whatever degree we want it to, and then we end up baking it. Where matzah is very restricted. Matzah has gedarim. Matzah has time restrictions if it wants to be mekayim or fulfill the gedarim of matzah. One may have the mistaken impression that when we get out of Mitzrayim, we're no longer avadim to Paro, that the type of chayrus that we want to experience is the chayrus of chametz. What is chametz? I'm free to do whatever I want. There are no longer any restrictions on me. That's what I want to do. I want to sit here and do nothing and relax. But that is not what chayrus is all about. But we want a chayrus of matzah. What's a chayrus of matzah? It is chayrus to do something. It's chayrus to keep to a certain system, a certain ethic, a certain way of living my life, a certain morality. It's not freedom from, but freedom to, right? It's the ability to try and infuse my life with the avodas Hashem, and that is encapsulated by this tension between matzah and chametz. Chametz and matzah together, they're battling it out. Perhaps if I would have another potential halakhic problem, I.e. what we're referring to, tevel, then what's going to happen? That will detract from the focus of what I'm trying to have over here. The tension that exists between chametz and matzah. And therefore, we dafka only want something which has that potential to become chametz, and therefore, if we're zocha to make it into matzah, so we really have capitalized on the chayrus that we want. And this, Rabbi used to explain this Rambam. The Rambam quoting this Gemara seems to be very, very strange. What does the Rambam say? Ein adam yotei de chavaso ba'achila matzah shehi asura lo kigon she'achla tevel. Right? You can't be yote with matzah shel tevel. So far, so good. That's the Gemara. O maestri rishon shel matzah trumaso. O shegazla. Or for matzah gazula, you can't be b'kayim mitzah. Zeh klal. Here's the klal. What klal should he say?
Anything that that the only iser is the chametz.
Excellent. He should say that the only way they give you a kayim mitzah matzah is if there's going to be potential chametz. That's how he says. Zeh klal kol shem avarchal and berachas amazon. Only if you could actually bench on it. Only if you could bench on it. Where did the Rambam get that? Doesn't say that in Gemara. What is he talking about? No shot in the Rambam is gufa, this idea that Rav Rosa is saying in the Gemara. That if one can only be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah if it leads to a berachas hamazon. It's an achila that is one of avodas Hashem. It's an achila where that has restrictions. It has an achil what? That you can say a bracha on. That you can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you the food. That's goof of what the Gemara is talking about. Because that really is what matzah is all about. Understanding that I'm eating, and that eating is going to lead me to more of avodas Hashem. It's going to lead me to berachas hamazon. Gevaldik. Okay. That is matzah. Now what about maror? Okay. Maror is a big discussion. Let's see what it says. The Rush over here is a very interesting Rush. Rush tells us, Tanya achil what does the Rush tell us? That one needs to eat a kizayis amor. Now that seems fairly obvious. It's a mitzvah. Do you raise the rabbanon? Anybody know? Very good. Now it is on the rabbanon because it's telling on. It's telling on the Korban Pesach. Excellent, excellent. Okay, good. One homework. Try to figure this one out. Ready? When we get up to Korich, we'll talk about it. No, we won't talk about it because I didn't put it on the sheet. So here's my homework for Korich. According to the Rambam, this is the Rambam Shita, that Maror is Midi Rabbanan, because it's Talayan on Korban Pesach, right? The Gemara says also, the Rambam Shita though, the Rambam passes that, and the Rambam says as follows. Says the Rambam, when it comes to Korich, you know what would you be Korich? What? The Korban Pesach and Matzah. Not?
Maror.
So why does the Rambam think that Maror is Talayan on Korban Pesach, but yeah, when it comes to the Korich sandwich, you only have your matzah and your pesach, and your maror seemingly independently.
Because
okay.
Korich was only instituted by Hillel after.
There's a big discussion about whether Korich is like a chil or b'diavad, and it's not so clear in the Rambam. But still, nevertheless, even if it was instituted by Hillel, like, I mean, if the Rambam thinks he's right, so then, you know, wouldn't Hillel want to put it together?
No.
I think so.
What?
But Bismach basically the Shkayim was Doraisa when you had the pesach.
Korich was.
What? What did he say? No.
He was?
Yeah. Dech le mikdash kielo. Kien asa elo bizmatcha mikdash aikayam. Hayu korcha and matzah. Right? If I'm not mistaken, I believe that's the text of the Agatha. Yes? I got that right. Okay. What?
The Gemara didn't say Mara.
Where?
The Gemara.
About what?
Korcha. Didn't say Mara there.
I don't remember. Well, actually, we'll look at that. We have the Gemara in front of us, okay? We'll have to take a look at it. Okay. So, we need to eat a kizayis and maror. Now, the question is, why do you need to make a kizayis and maror? So, if you look all the way at the bottom of this rush says something very interesting. So while birakos rishon shemar kol nevar biadam, what? That's a pasuk.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Okay, Bisader, let's come back to that in a moment. Okay, the Rosh says that the reason why a person eats a kizayis maror is because there is a bracha of al achilas maror. Because there's a takana derabanan of a bracha of al achilas maror, therefore you need the kizayis. Now all the achronim will go crazy on this rush. Why? Is it a good justification why you need a achilas kizayis maror? Because you made a bracha on it? Can you tell me what came first, the bracha or the maror?
You bracha on anything.
Bracha rishon is on a mash.
What?
Bracha maror, yeah.
Okay, great, but Achilas Maror is not the Bracha Rishona Brachas Anen, and we're talking Brachas Mitzvah. I have a question. What came first, the Mitzvah of Achilas Maror or the Takana Derabanan of Brachas? I should give you the answer. Very good, the Takana Derabanan of Brachas, right? If you have a Mitzvah, it's Achilas Halayla, so then what does it make? So be Kazayas. So, like, who cares whether you say Brachan or not? You should have to eat a Kazayas of Maror. So, it could have to do with this. Many answers are given in the acronym. There's a Rashi says, if you look, there's a big discussion when it comes to swallowing mitzvot, so whether you're mekayim the mitzvah or not. Balamatzah, whether you're yatzah, balamara, whether you're yatzah or not. Okay, so that's a big discussion in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. And the Rashi says something very interesting. Balamara, lo yatzah. Why are you not lo yatzah? Ef shalo tam bo tam maror. What does Rashi say? The reason why you're not yotzah if you swallow the maror is because you need to taste the maror, meaning that it could be that maror is unique, and this is what a certain hashkafa when we get the maror. The maror is not about the achila per se, but rather it's about the tam of maror, the tam of the mariris that we're trying to experience. And therefore, maybe what the Rosh is telling you is that the only reason why you have achila is because it's nothing to do with the mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah d'oraisa, that's to feel the mariris. So you need a te'im of the maror. But you don't need to actually have a full-fledged achila. That's what we're focused on. So why do we have a kizayis? Maybe it's about the fact that there's a bracha, which was niskan on it, and therefore the bracha warrants an achilas kizayis. Perhaps that's shot in the rush. Great. Okay, Korech. Now we're up to Korech. What's Korech all about? Let's see. Okay, source number 26. There's a big machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan and the Thomas Sig and Ravashi also gets involved somewhere over here. To make that up. I'm going to make it up. Ravashi also gets involved. Source number 26, if you look over there, about whether Korech was the Chachiva or it was only B'diyabed, what constituted Korech, and what do we do with Manazah? So let's see what does Gemara end up saying. Hashta, the lo itmar halachas alo kehila velo kerabanan. We don't know whether the halachas are kehila or the rabbanan. Mevarchan al achilas matzah va'achil. So what do you do? This is what we do halacha ma'isa. We say al achilas matzah, and then what do we do? We eat our matzah, and then after tahadar mevarchan al achilas marar va'achil, and then we eat marar separately. Tahadar achil matzah v'chasa v'hadi adadi below bracha zeichem v'mikdash kehila, and then we do a zeichem v'mikdash kehila just in case kehila is right. This is how the Gemara gets out of this dispute and uncertainty about whether we pass them like Hillel or they pass them like the Rabbanan. Okay, what is the discussion of the Gemara? We need to get into it now, but the Gemara is really dealing with mitzvos mevatlos zu azu. That if you have a certain mitzvah which is on the level of Doraisa, and then you try to be Mekayim, that mitzvah midoraisa at the same time as another mitzvah midorabanan, they might be mevatl each other, and that's a real problem. And therefore, what do? We say al-chilos matzah on the matzah first, and therefore we have fulfilled our obligation midoraisa of matzah. And then we say al achilas maror on the maror, and if we fulfill our obligation of maror midorabanan, and then afterwards we put them together, zeichel mikdash kehila. That's how we get the best of both worlds. Now, question is, bizman hazeh, what exactly is the purpose of eating that korech sandwich? So it seems to be a bit of a machlok, as the Bach says. Let's read together, source number 27. Masha kasa ba'achar kach, noto matzah shlishis. So we say we have the sandwich like Hillel did without a bracha. See, the Bach assumes that you have all three, right? Now there is no Beis Hamikdash. According to the Bach, what's the purpose of having the Hillel sandwich? Is why? Just a zeichel to make the shvalma. That's all it is. That's all we're doing in order to remember things that would happen based on make the shchayim. But there actually is no inherent mitzvah per se, right? There's nothing, there's no kiyum that you're trying to accomplish. However, you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, he says something really interesting. What does he say? Let's read it together. Markov notal matzah shishis ubatayim imenu b'karecha imenu marar v'tvelas b'charoses. Hagah says, Ramav Yish omrim d'ein l'tvel v'chein hu bin hagin v'chein reisin hagin. Okay, and now we say, v'omr zeichel l'mikdash kilal. We say, this should be zeichel l'mikdash kilal. Of ochem b'yachar b'aseba, and we eat a b'aseba. U'kishim b'varech al achilas matzah. And when you say al achilas matzah, what does he say? Lo yasir b'davar. She'enu m'inin asuda ad she'echol krichazu. Do not talk until you have Korech. Why? Kedei shetala birchas achilas matzah u'birchas achilas maror gam l'krichazu, in order so that your bracha of al achilas matzah and al achilas maror should be chal on both, on the korech. According to the Shulchan Aruch, what seems to be the purpose of the korech? Is it just stam zeichel mikdash? No, it may be a kiyum and a continuation of achilas matzah maror. So whether it's a kiyum or whether it's a zeichel mikdash, we'll be telling you on this, nafkamina, what's nafkamina? Can one speak in between achilas matzah and maror and korech if you hold that it's just a stam zeichel mikdash like the Bach holds? So then there should be no reason why you can't have a hetzach adas. Who cares? It's just a zeichel mikdash. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, since it's a further kiyum, so that's a hemshik of your mitzvah of achilas matzah and achilas maror, and therefore you should have a hetzach adas, so that the bracha of achilas matzah and al achilas maror should be chal on the kriach as well. Yeah, what's up? Yes, he says, as long as it's be inin asuda. That's what he says.
And it's really a continuation of the previous bracha, but even, once you make hamotzi, you're not then allowed to...
I mean, if you don't have... if you need things for afterwards for the hamotzi, then yes, you are allowed to.
Even if I already made the bracha.
Yes. Yes. Okay, what do we have to now? Good. Shulchan Aruch, okay. What do we got over here? The Rambam says, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Periches, Halacha Tes. We get up to the meal. So you imagine he just says that we should have a meal. So what does he say? Ba'achach nimshach basuda. He says, Ba'ochol kol mashu rotzeh lechol, v'shosol kol mashu rotzeh lishos. U'b'achrona ochol ma b'basar ha-Pesach, afil kezayis, v'ino tol ma'achar ha-Pchal. Okay, then you can't eat anything after the Korban Pesach. Now, just a very simple question. Why, now this is like, this is, might be like way too brisker or whatever, and this like tiyuk is so like lav dafka, but we'll do it anyways. Why does the Rambam tell you that you could eat whatever you want to eat and drink whatever you want to drink?
Cheres, and she tells them.
Cheres, what do you mean?
Just like you said before, the whole point of the Kaddish was the point of showing cheres, so it's also a point of cheres to eat whatever you want.
Excellent, fantastic. So I think what the Rambam is trying to tell you is that don't think that your achilas halayla is just samachila. That's a kiyum in the mitzvah of Shulchan Aruch, right? That's an expression of cheres. Exactly, kvaldik. Maybe why the Rambam was going out of your way to tell you not just vachach ochel sudas yantif, right? You could have just said that, but he says no. Afterwards, you eat the suda, and you can eat whatever you want to eat and drink whatever you want to drink. Maybe something because like that's gufa kiyam, right? That's a kiyam in mitzvah shulchan aruch. That's a kiyam in the cheres. Alternatively, and much much less exciting, maybe what the Rambam is telling you that you can eat whatever you want to eat and drink whatever you want to drink is because up until this point you could only eat and drink what the seder tells you to eat. That would be like the more obvious answer. Yeah. But that's much less exciting, much less fun, much less kishmak, and therefore, whatever. Yes?
Would this be like different to what Rosh Hashanah is? Because it wouldn't be that for this, like you're sort of indulging yourself, it's sort of like you're going free on everything?
No, I don't think it means like going, it doesn't mean achilas gasa. I think it means...
Not that.
What?
I'm just saying, like, use whatever you want to eat, you can eat whatever they like,
right, it's true, because I think there's room within the confines and context of what is Shem to, you know, eat shawarma. Maybe. I hope. Otherwise, whatever. Okay. Source number 30. Source number 30, let's see what it says over here. The Or Chaim says something very beautiful. He says, "Va'achar ochos sudasa b'simcha." You should eat your suda b'simcha. Rabbi Moen points out in his Agada something very beautiful, which is you know obvious to notice. What did Rabbi Moen point out to us? Very simple. That what are the two times you say halal?
You
want smooth? Magid and Magid and Magid at the end of the after, right after Shulchan Aruch. So it means in between, we have our meal. Says Rav Rimon, what's shot? That it's a suda of Hallel. It's not a hefsek in the Hallel. It is a suda of Hallel, and therefore that's a continuation of the Hallel. And, you know, that's a very beautiful opportunity that we have, maybe one time of year, to mamish experience a suda's Hallel, which is, you know, which is very clear when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Tzafun. Tzafun is the mitzvah of, you know, Korban Pesach, which unfortunately we don't have, right? The mitzvah of Afikomen. What do we see over here? The Rosh quotes, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, in Maftirin, Achar Matzah Afikomen. Beferish Rashbam, Shetarach Lechol Matzah, Begmar Sudas, Zecher, Lamata, Nechalas, and Mapesach, Bekricha, Vizu Matzah, Abotzeh, Shalom, Ochem, Rachon, Lashim Chova. Okay. So they actually hold that the real mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, according to some Rishon in the Rashbam, it's actually then. That's your mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, right? We know that when do you have the more machmir shirim of matzah? When do you have to eat two gizesim? By machilas matzah and tzafun. Why? Because machlokes is shown about whether which one is the kim of chilas matzah. So that's the Rashbam. Hilchach nearly the osa matzah ino l'shim chova ela ochan osa l'zechel l'pesach sheinechal ala sova b'achronu fishu zechel l'pesach v'yishlitein l'adin l'pesach sholach l'achara. But the Rashi says something different. Rashi says, no, I don't think that tzafun is zecher for the korech sandwich, and therefore that's your kim and achilas matzah. Rather, he thinks that it's zecher for the korban pesach. Okay, and he says, and therefore that's why you have the minhag of, you know, ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen, that you're not allowed to eat anything afterwards. Great. Now, just a very, very quick idea about the korban pesach. The korban pesach is a very unique type of korban. It breaks almost every single rule that you can think about when it comes to korbanos. Okay? We don't even know how to identify what type of korban it is. Maybe it's kind of like a shlamin, maybe not. You know, there's something called minuyim on a korban pesach, which only exists by another korban. It's brought outside of the framework of the Seder Avoda, right? Brought after the korban tamid shel bein harabayim. Mir tashem, we'll learn tamid nishcha. We'll be able to learn it together. But just one quick idea: the Mishnah tells us chamisha dvarim ba mitzvah ve'inachal mitzvah. It's a Mishnah daf ayin vav and beis and pesachim. Haomer v'she'alachem v'lechem apanim v'ziv cheshal mitivor v'sira shichadashem ha'pesach shavah v'tama nechal b'tama shalobal mitchaz al achila. Says the Mishnah, well, there are five things which can be brought b'tama, but you can't eat them. Let's say the tibor is tameh, so you can bring these korbanos which are chovos ha'tibor, but you can't eat these korbanos even though they were brought b'tama. And it tells you she'alachem v'lechem apanim haomer etc. However, korban pesach is unique. Why? You get to, if it's brought b'tuma, if roba tibur is tameh, then it's nechal b'tuma. Why is it nechal b'tuma? Shelo bad mitchaso el achilo, because the ikar purpose of korban pesach is not the korban, but rather it's to eat it, to eat the korban pesach. Now there's a big discussion machlokas harishonim and the gemara, things between the Rambam and Rav Daniel Bavli, about whether achilos pesachim is ma'akva. Meaning, generally speaking, when it comes to the realm of kachin, David, this is for you. Yes, whether it's that generally speaking, you have a mitzvah of achilas kachin, and you have a mitzvah of hakravas kachin, right? They have nothing to do with each other. That when one is chayv to bring a karban, as long as they brought the karban and they did the drikas adam, which is the most important part of the karban, there you go to the mitzvah, whether the karban gets eaten or not. Maybe other nachkaminas, stuff like kapara, kawana might need to eat your karban chatas, or that you get kapara, but that's a different halacha not for right now. But generally speaking, there's two separate mitzvos. They're not tali havaha, but it could be, and this is machlokas, like I said, Rishonim, that korban pesach is ma'akva, that if one does not eat the korban pesach, then they were ma'akiv the mitzvah. One can see that, at least from this mishnah, to some degree, that if it was brought b'tumah, it's nechal b'tumah, because there's no such thing as a korban being brought shel pesach that can't be eaten. Why is that so important? Why is it necessary that we need to eat the korban pesach? So it could be, I heard this from my other Rebbe, Ben Arsh, who said the following idea, that it could be that since Pesach and the Leil HaSeder is all about the experiential nature of bringing of the props, making and allowing the entire experience to come alive. And we have Matzah, and we have the Marah, we have the Chayav Adam Maharas, Tzatzvi Kiliyotz, and Mitzrayim. And it could be that what we really want to do is take that experience of Kedusha and Kachim, which is anchored to the Pesach that they brought in Mitzrayim, that they, you know, were mafresh on Shabbos HaGadol, and, you know, Achi Yishchetu Eloheyam Aleinayam, that was our zchus to leave Mitzrayim. We can't just leave that in the realm of the Beis HaMikdash there by the Shechina and Kachem. We need to bring that into our lives. We need to make that part of the Seder. And therefore, fundamental to the mitzvah, and maybe Li'ikuvah, according to some, is the Achila B'Leil HaSeder. That's what it's all about. because it's not just about the korban itself, and you know, I did that and I sent it to the Kohen and the Beis Hamikdash, he shekted it for me, and now I'm done, I can forget about it. I only need to bring that into my lives. That's exactly what we're trying to experience, L'el HaSeder. Barich is Shulchan Aruch, is Berachas HaMazon. Okay, we don't have to go through that. Hallel is the famous Ran. What does the Ran say? The Ran says that this type of hallel is a different type of hallel. It's a hallel not mitam kriya, but rather it's a hallel mitam shira. What does that mean? It's a hallel which is born out of an experiential type of experience. You can't say experiential type of experience. Doesn't make any sense. Okay, because we experience Yisias Mitzrayim, therefore we feel compelled to say hallel. Not because we're obligated to say hallel, but it's a natural type of hallel. It's a very beautiful. The Grizzer based Halevi on the hallel that we said at the end of Magid, which is also somewhat connected to this, but it's a spontaneous type of hallel, and therefore perhaps that's why we don't have a bracha on hallel itself, because a bracha makes it formal, and this is you know, an outflowing of an experiential type of nature. Lastly, we get up to Nirtza. Nirtza is the end of the Haggadah, and we end with the Shana Abab Yerushalayim Abinyah. I'm always very, very fond. I think I said this over on Purim, but I don't remember. You'll tell me if I did. That the Rav points out that there are two times when it comes to the Yom Tovim that we have in the Jewish calendar, that we say L'shana Haba B'Yushalayim HaBniyah, that is when? That is? On Yom Kippur and on Pesach, right? Why? Why those two times? Why not after Shavuos? Why not after Sukkos? Why are there those specifically? Why not Rosh Hashanah? Says the Rav, because there are no other days in the Jewish calendar that have been fundamentally transformed negatively and negatively impacted because of the Chorban HaBayis. We think we know what Yom Kippur is. And we think we know what Pesach is. You know what Yom Kippur is? It's Rav Yaakovson's very deep, huh? Right? That's what we think Yom Kippur is, right? And we think that it's, you know, Dr. Play's unbelievable Kesser Melucha. That's what we think Yom Kippur is. And that's also Gevaldik. And that's great. And it's fantastic. And we think it's, you know, Rav Gantz and, you know, him making sure that we're not sitting over the chasm or something like that. Whatever. Like, that is Yom Kippur for us. But that's not Yom Kippur. Because the avodah that we say in the avodah that we say during the next day, and even if we went to Rav Turetsky's shir the night before and we understood, you know, some of the amkus based on Rav Hirsch and the Maral the Chulei of what the avodah is all about, but that's not really what you want to know what the avodah is. We would go to the Beis Hamikdash. Need to write Cholam. Right, there would be in the Beis Hamikdash. They'd be there, and they'd be able to see the Kohen Gadol perform the Avodah. They'd be able to hear the Shema, the Forash. We ourselves would bow down because we heard it so much. And we would be these spectators, but at the same time doing tshuva, waiting with anticipation, hopefully waiting to see the thread of red string, the scarlet string, turn white. We would want the kapara. We'd be nervous, the Kohen Gadol going, being machdas, lefnai v'lefnim. The you know, Emes Manedar was not something that we needed to think and sing about, but it was mavish, something we would feel. But unfortunately, we don't have it. And the same thing when it comes to Pesach. We think Pesach is all about whatever Seder we're going to be doing, whatever Pesach program we go on, whatever, like, no? Okay, my bad. No, not this year.
Yeah,
right, okay, they're all canceled?
The quarantine
one. Okay, Seder, right. Whatever we think Pesach is all about, and it's like about the Seder, and with our family, we say we're Divrei Torah, and all these things, and that Divrei Torah, don't worry, Magid's gone too long, you'll save it for next night, yes? Right, Grandpa always tells us, right? Okay, we've all experienced all those things, and that's what we think the Seder is all about. No, that's not what the Seder is about. You know what the Seder was about? A beautiful description of a Mishnah at the end of Tamid Nishchat talks about how there were different groups of people that they would let into the Azara to be makrib the Korban Pesach. And the entire time as the Korban Pesach is being brought, you know what they're singing? Hallel. The entire time. And the different kitos that go in and go out. And then eventually what do? You take your Korban Pesach back and you need to eat in Yerushalayim. And all the Amisos in Yerushalayim together that entire night. And what does it say? They're singing on the rooftops. And on the streets, Shiros to the Sishbachos to the Ribono Shalom. And therefore, says the Rav, because we don't experience a proper Yom Kippur, and because we don't experience a proper Pesach, that's why we say, L'shana Habab Yushalayim Abniyah. And the realization is that hopefully, Mirat Hashem, if we go through this this year, I hope we won't have to do it, you know? Mirat Hashem will be Zocha to be Nechel from Azvachim, Mamid Apsachim, Mamish Mamid Apsachim, and therefore we'll be able to fully experience a true and meaningful Pesach the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended us to do so. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful night.